Back on to our next presentation. Presentation is given in English. Our presenter is Kazem Zafari from Fachhochschule Potsdam, and the topic is about open source and web-based GeoAI tool for transparent forest fire prediction. The floor is yours.
Thanks. Today I want to present a prototype of my PhD, the initial results of my PhD, which I developed a web application for the purpose of explainable geospatial artificial intelligence using open source geospatial technology. That's why I'm here. For this purpose, I use the following architecture, composing of the front end, middleware, and also the database. The front end is composed of Vue.js as a JavaScript framework, and also Maplib.gl.js, which is the first fork, open source fork of Mapbox.gl.js for map rendering, and also the GeoServer and PgTileServe for creating the raster tile and vector tile, both of which are connected to the PostgreSQL and PostGIS database. And also, I'm using the Python Fast API as a middleware for developing API and communication between front end and also the database. For the purpose of explainability, I train a machine learning model, and I host my machine learning model in the Docker container to make it possible for the Python to communicate to my machine learning model. And I use explainable AI model, which in this case is SHAP, Shapely Additive, which is a Python library for explaining a machine learning model, which is model agnostic, which works with the most of the machine learning models. And for creating the machine learning model, I choose the wildfire in the state of the Brandenburg as a use case of the for this case I selected different independent variables in different categories. Yes, sure.
F5.
It's better, thanks. So the main parameter that I considered for the purpose of the training my machine learning models is the vegetation-based index, meteorological and topographic index. And for the vegetation, I consider NDVI, normalized distance vegetation index, NDMI, which is a moisture index, and GNDMI, which is a green normalized vegetation index, derived or computed from the Sentinel-2 satellite imagery, which was derived using Google Earth engine. So the Sentinel-2 itself composed of 12 different bands, each of which can be used to calculate different products. Three of which I use for as a parameter for my machine learning model as independent variables. And also I use Landsat satellite imagery for assessing the land surface temperature, LST. And also I use DWD database for creating global radiation, precipitation, drought index. And I use the OpenDEM as a data source for digital terrain model, and I derived the digital elevation model out of the digital terrain model, and I computed aspect and the slope out of the digital elevation model. And finally, as an inventory data set, I gathered the real burnt area in the state of the Brandenburg from 2013 until 2023 as an inventory data set for testing the accuracy of machine learning model. So I went through the sampling process. Actually, all the data were pre-processed using GDAL, and I created a sample data set out of the whole data set in a 30-meter resolution. And I trained my the whole data set using the random forest model, and I assessed the accuracy of my machine learning model using the test data set. And at the end, I had a big CSV file, and I transformed this CSV file using the GDAL utility tool to the real raster data set that I can import this raster data set in my backend for the purpose of communication with the users, for the purpose of explainability. The far right image is the result of fire susceptibility of the wildfire in the state of Brandenburg. In the next step, I used all these independent variables and also forest fire susceptibility map to the Joux server and to make it accessible in the front-end application. The user mental map that I imagined here, that user simply clicks on the forest fire susceptibility map in a specific coordinate to get local explanation, to simply put why the random forest model or any kind of machine learning model predicted a specific area for a certain probability. So the user, the decision maker, or whoever is a group of the category of the user gets explanation or the most contributing factors to the final prediction. That was my initial purpose. So the latitude and longitude of the click coordinates goes to the API, and I use GDAL location info to get the other predictor's raster value at the exact click coordinate. And I connected my explanatory Xi library to the predicted values. And at the end, I get feature importance, or the level of the contribution of each predictor's NDVI, NDMI, and 11 predictors that I had in form of JSON. And it will be returned to the front end at the end. And I use D3JS library to visualize in some sort of the bar visualization to explain the most contributing factor and the level of the contribution of each predictors to the prediction at the click coordinate of the susceptibility map. This is the whole process. The map components listens to the clicked coordinate latitude and longitude of the user that clicked. It goes to my other components and sends, first of all, checks using the TERF.js if the click coordinate is inside the bounding box of the study area. Then sends this click coordinate as a payload to the API that I developed, get local shaft values. And it goes to my Python backend. As I mentioned, I defined the TIFF directory contains all of my predictors. And using GDAL location info, it gets the value of the predictor at the clicked coordinate and returns a JSON file. And this can be used as an input for the shaft value for the purpose of explanation. And at the end, I have a JSON file composed of feature importance, and it will be returned to the front end. To show the prototype system, this is my Twitter. And so this is the module that I developed, which is called Explainable AI. By clicking on this, it sends a request to the backend, and the forest fire prediction result or raster in the format of cloud optimized GeoTIFF will be retrieved in the front end and make it interactable by the user. So user clicks on the arbitrary coordinates. And it sends all the process that I explained before will be executed in my backend API that I called. So in the chart, a histogram will be created. So the histogram data will be retrieved here, and also the raster values and shaft values, and all of which will be plotted in the D3JS diagram here. So beside the explanation, the values, user can interact with the chart, and for example, with hovering on each indicator, the request layer can be added, and user can visually explore the data set, each of the indicators that were involved for the purpose of the prediction. And that's much of it, the thing that I implemented so far. I would be happy to answer your question or get your recommendation.
Thank you very much, Kazem. You still have 10 minutes. any questions here in the room? I don't got any. Yeah, there's a question. Could you go bring the microphone, please? Until my assistant is there. Did you calculate these indices on your own, or did you use Google Earth Engine to do this for you?
I use Google Earth Engine to retrieve the products, for example, Sentinel-2 product. Then I use GDAL to having all the bands. I use GDAL for the simple calculation to calculate, for example, NDVI. NDVI can be calculated, if I'm not wrong, band 1 and band 2. For example, B2 minus B4, a simple calculation can be done to retrieve or calculate a specific product.
And as a machine learner, use Random Forest?
Yes, it's a Random Forest model.
Which library did you use for?
I used the Jupyter Notebook for the training and test. And
probably scikit-learn.
I used the scikit-learn for the training and testing my data set.
Yeah. So the question that I have is, so you mentioned using PG TileServe. So where exactly did you use vector tiles?
We have a general module here, and which is called layers, basically. By clicking on this icon, a simple API will be sent to the backend and list all the name of the existing tables in the PostGIS table. So it gets the name of the table. By clicking on the on each switch buttons, it will request the tiles, basically. For example, all the drains and for different existing layers, or Kita, or Landkreis, or different existing layer in the database. So this is my PG TileServe backend, and this is all the existing tables in the PostGIS table. It automatically creates this list. And beside that, it connects to the Geo server using GeoServer REST API to get all the existing COG or raster in the Geo server. Of course, it's admin Geo server.
There's also a question related to the indicators that you used. It's not clear where they are from. Are they used as input for the machine learning? I guess this addresses the slide that you showed before. The input variables, so precipitate, yeah, drought index, and so on.
So it's composed of NDVI, NDMI, GNDVI as a vegetation index. And also for the meteorological indices, I use global radiation, LST, precipitation, and drought index. And also topographical indexes, which is DEM or aspect and slope.
Okay, I hope that's answered the question. One related to is about the importance of the features. Which one was the most important input feature?
Exactly. As I showed here, for example, most of the machine learning model at the end of the training and testing process give you a global explanation for the feature importance, as you can hear. For example, for the whole data set, the NDMI had the biggest influence for the prediction. But what I try to do, provide user with a local explanation, with a simple interaction by clicking to, on the arbitrary raster value or single raster value here. So as you can see here, for example, user can click and get explanation and in the selected pixel, for example, in the specific area, why the random forest model, for example, predicted that it's not susceptible to the wildfire. As you can see, NDMI, because maybe it was highly moisturous, that's why it affected the whole prediction later.
Then we have here one or two questions from the room.
Just related to the question you just answered. Oops. Okay. Just related to the questions you just answered, I was just wondering, so these are the input of like high moisture, or is this the output of the model saying high moisture was very important for me?
This is the output of the forest fire prediction, the image that you can see. And if the user wants to get a more detailed explanation about the selected, for example, digital elevation model, the raster of the digital elevation model will be overlaid on the top of the forest fire prediction raster, and they can see the distribution of the values of the digital elevation model, for example. And they can see the, yeah, exactly.
Do you respect any time dependency in the model?
No, unfortunately not now.
Did you take the data from a specific point in time?
Exactly. So here we have all the burnt areas, the data set in the area, and the time-dependent indicators, which are mostly here, the meteorological data that are time dependent. So in the data set that I have here for the burnt area, there are information about the time of the incident of the wildfire. So inside the DWDD data set database, I looked for the indices or for the time before the happening of the real incident, for example, 2 months or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But at the end, I computed the average of all the values for the final raster.
Okay, thank you very much for your presentation and answering the questions. And we continue here in this room in 15 minutes with the presentation on the QGIS plugin. What's the impact of my installed dam on the vegetation around it? Presented by Barrett.